Hey, what's going on? It's Dr. Boyce Watkins from Financial Juneteenth, and I was thinking about something today. I was thinking about Chris Rock, and Chris Rock is just one of the most brilliant comedians in the world, in history. He's actually one of the few people I've actually wanted to meet. I don't like meeting that many celebrities. I don't care about that kind of stuff, but Chris is the kind of guy where I'm intrigued by how he thinks. You know, Chris has had an amazing career. His public life has been really, really good. And his personal life may have been good, but at least right now it doesn't look so good. Right now, Chris is getting a divorce from his wife, Malak. I think they've been married about 20 years. And they met back in the 90s, back when I guess things looked rosier in their future. And so as Chris is going through this divorce, he's sitting on this massive amount of money. He's sitting on this big wealth stack of about $70 million. 70, 7-0. And, you know, now it comes down to trying to figure out, you know, how much of this should be his and how much of this should be hers. And it just gets real messy at this in these situations. In fact, it was one of the reasons I wrote my book. I wrote a book called Financial Lovemaking because I was so intrigued with how money shapes our lives and how money affects our relationships. I mean, you have a lot of people that will, you know, spend their life with a person because they have money. They'll have sex with a person because they have money, or they will, you know, do whatever because somebody has money. And I found that really fascinating. And I don't know if there's a right or wrong answer to that, but I think it's definitely something where people react and they don't really think about what they're doing when they're reacting. And I think about this case with Chris. In terms of the details of their marriage, from what I understand, they did have a prenup, but the prenup had what they call a sunset clause, which means it expired after 18 years. So the prenup is pretty much null and void. So now his wife, Malak, is coming back and she's like, yo, I deserve a big chunk of your money, at least a third. And I also deserve alimony and child support. Now, giving up a third or letting go of a third, assuming that you consider the fact that Chris did make the money, but there's always obviously the support that the spouse provides. You know, Demetria Lucas, a friend of mine at TheRoot.com, did bring up the fact that, you know, she was watching his kids while he was off making the millions. But, you know, at the same time, there's some people who will say, yeah, but he was making millions before he met her. He would have made millions if he'd never met her. There's a good chance she may not have made Chris Rock money. In fact, most people never make Chris Rock money. So a lot of people are saying, well, you know, how much do you pay somebody for babysitting their own kids? You know, but at the same time, there are other people who say, well, no, a wife is not just a glorified babysitter. She's far more than that. She's a confidant. She's a support system. So, it kind of goes back and forth. It gets kind of crazy in terms of figuring out, you know, how much he deserves versus she. But one thing I can say definitely is that, you know, the risk that I would see for a guy like Chris in this situation is that, you know, you spent your whole career, you made all this money. You don't know if you're going to keep making money like this or not. Careers end all the time. But you do know that a big chunk of what you've made is going to be gone. And also, you're going to be stuck with these high fixed expenses. And the fixed expenses are what get people into trouble. Like, for example, athletes that have a lot of babies with a lot of women, they're pretty much fucking themselves because that child support is a beast, and it doesn't go away just because you're not playing football anymore, because you're not making big money anymore. So you'll have a lot of guys that will get in those situations where they're paying out all this money because the money's coming in easy. You know, they're like, I'm the best player in the world. I'm going to make all this money forever, whatever. And they don't think about the future. And then what happens is when the money income drops, they still have these financial demands that pull them and end up pushing them into bankruptcy and stuff like that. So the easiest way to go broke is to have a bunch of babies mamas. Like, that's a great way to end up bankrupt, to end up running from the cops, to end up financially marginalized, to end up in a situation where you can't even have a family because you can't afford one. So the fixed expenses are the things that get people into trouble. And I talk about guys, but it can happen to women too. I mean, you have cases where rich women will marry broke ass men who will then take a chunk of their money, and then they end up paying all this money out. Look at Halle Berry. Halle Berry's paying crazy money to her ex-husband. Now, you know, speaking of Chris, you know, what I really thought about with Chris, and I'm not going to say Chris's marriage was a smart or bad thing. I can say that when I would hear him do skits, I think there's always some truth in comedy, just like in hip hop. Like if you hear lyrics, typically the lyrics are coming from the heart and the psyche of the person that's spitting these lyrics. Same thing is true with comedy. When you listen to somebody's jokes and they got you laughing, it's like, okay, are you making me laugh so you can keep yourself from crying? Because Chris's views on marriage for a decade have not been favorable. I mean, Chris, I mean, I'm talking about really negative. Like I think he said in one of his routines, like, you can either be single and lonely or married and bored. So he said you can either be bored or lonely. That's your only choice. I don't think that's true. I don't think you have to be either one. And actually, that was one of the reasons why I wrote the book Financial Lovemaking, is because one thing I noticed is that a lot of people will pick relationships based on things that really don't matter. They pick relationships without thinking it through. They don't think about the long-term consequences of being in that relationship. They will just say, oh, well, she got a nice ass, or oh, he's got swag and he's a good-looking dude, or whatever. And I'm single, so why shouldn't I go out with this person? Well, you know, one of the things I always tell my daughters is that every date is a potential mate. So when you give somebody your number, or you decide to go on a few dates with somebody, or you decide to share your body with another person, understand that you might be getting locked for life. And marriage is for life, even if you get a divorce. Let me repeat that. Marriage is for life, even if you get a divorce. Because ain't no such thing as just parting ways and making it easy and moving on. You have kids with this person sometimes. You have financial commitments and connections to this person. You also have emotional connections with this person. You, for the rest of your life, you are a divorcee. That's how people are going to see you. So you got to really think about that kind of stuff, because the implications can be huge. And I'll give you one example. I knew somebody who did everything right in her life. She worked hard, achieved the highest goals, all of that. But she married a weak ass man, and eventually the man killed her, and he killed himself. And now she's got two children who are growing up without either one of their parents because of bad relationship choices that were made by their parents to be together when they didn't belong together. So you know, so what I would say with Chris is that you know, I don't know if he's going to end up coming out on top on this. I don't think his wife is going to get half of the money. I don't even know if she's going to get a third. Some people would say, look, you know, $15 million payment should be good. But then again, some people say she deserves half. I don't know. But I do know that he probably regrets that decision to marry her, which does not mean that marriage is a bad decision, but it does mean that when you get locked into that, you need to understand that the greatest and most important investment you will make in your life is probably the decision of who you spend your life with. So do not take that decision lightly. Think it through. Get to know people before you let them in your life. Bad relationships and bad associations are the easiest way to lose everything. You have people that lose everything because over a piece of ass that they were chasing, or people who lose everything because they married the wrong person, or people who lose everything because they decided that, you know, when they were married, they were going to go mess with somebody and sleep with them, you know, whatever. I mean, even the president, Bill Clinton, got in trouble over his decisions in terms of relationships and almost got impeached. Whatever. So the bottom line is that you really want to think this kind of thing through. You don't want to take it lightly. This is one of the most important investment decisions you'll ever make. And the truth is too that if you link up with somebody that makes you better off financially as opposed to worse off, then that can be a good move for you. That can be a good look for you. So, you know, get to know people before you let them in your space. And this doesn't just go for relationships. It also goes for friendships. The wrong friendships can get you in trouble. The wrong friendships can get you killed. The wrong friendships can get you sent to prison. So think about all this. Your life is your most precious and valuable asset. Don't just share that asset with anybody who walks by, because not everybody who looks good to you is going to be good for you. That's all I want to say. I'm Dr. Boyce Watkins from Financial Juneteenth. Take care. God bless. I'm gone. Peace.
That's what I mean. We were dealing with those issues that's happening right now in 2015
Yeah.
and 1990.
Were you with him when that happened?
We was living together.
You were living together.
He had gone to the bank, came home all scarred up, mad. I took the pictures.
And when Meek said it, he's not turning his back on the hood. I guess what he's saying is, you doing all this, man. Like, you doing this to blow the fuck up and to move on. and bring your dudes out of it with you.